How have you not seen this?
Welcome back to How Have You Not Seen This? As always, me, your host, Dustin Meadows. Today, I am joined by my guest host, Kamari Stevens.
What up, though?
And our guest, Nikki Winkleman.
Hello.
And we just watched Disney's The Aristocats. Fun, cute little Disney film with very wonderful characters. Disney regular Phil Harris, of course, giving us Thomas O'Malley, the alley cat.
Yep.
What was that full name again, Kamari?
Abraham DeLacy Giuseppe Casey. Thomas O'Malley Cat. I mean, Cat's not a part of the name. That was his
O'Malley the
spiel.
Alley Cat.
Yeah.
And Ava Gabor, who was Miss Bianca and the Rescuers. This is high up there on Disney movies for me because all of my favorite Disney movies involve class warfare to some extent. So
yes.
Robin Hood, Lady and the Tramp, Aladdin, this especially. So this is a very... good film for me. I grew up watching all the Disney movies with my family, so this is one that we got a lot of mileage on the VHS out of, and that's kind of why it's one of my favorites. Kamari's guest host in this mentioned to me offhand last night, one of your favorites as well.
Yeah, I mean, it was one of those movies we played a whole bunch. Same here with my family, had a big collection of Disney VHS tapes, and just kind of rotated them in. I like the music in this one a whole bunch.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's what made it cool. And now kind of finding out about, like, you know, Thomas O'Malley was also Baloo, which is, the voice actor. What's his name? Phil Harris was also Baloo, which is another one of my favorite movies. For me, it's the music. It's the music that kind of draws me to certain Disney movies. So, that's why this one was a big one, a big deal. I got in a lot of trouble for this this particular one.
You got in trouble?
Well, cause see, I was telling you last night, and this is also, you probably can get to the end, but I'll mention it. But scene where they finally meet up with the Scat Cat gang, and everybody wants to be a cat. It's a part where they're breaking down the house. And so, like, my stepdad, he was a bus driver, and he would have to get up early in the morning. So he slept in the basement, and I would be upstairs and listening to that song, and I would just stomp the ground continuously. Like, everybody. And I remember times where he would come up, and he would be, like, really upset. And then I had to, like, calm down. But I couldn't help myself. Because I like the song that much.
No, you want to tap them toes, stomp them feet, get them handcuffs.
I
got to
express myself. Do
that's
dance.
Right.
So, yeah.
Deal with it, Jerry, or whatever your stepdad's name was. I just like to assume every stepdad's name was Jerry.
Jerry. Go back to sleep, Jerry. That's why you're not sleeping with Mom. His name is James, but yeah.
Oh, I was close.
Close.
No, you were close, yeah.
All right.
So, yeah.
So knowing how important this movie is to me and Kamari, and knowing that Kamari and I are probably two of the most important people in the world, how have you not seen this, Nikki?
I don't know. I have no real good answer for it because I'm looking at the list of feature length animated films from Disney, and I've seen literally everything else in that same era. I'm looking at this list. And, I mean, right before Aristocats was Jungle Book, for that Sword in the Stone, 101 Dalmatians, Sleeping Beauty, Lady and the Tramp, Peter Pan, Alice in Wonderland, Cinderella, I've seen all of those. And then after the Aristocats, Robin Hood, Rescuers, Winnie the Pooh, Pete's Dragon, Fox and the Hound, I've seen all of those. So I don't know how I managed to miss this.
That's so, because, like, some of those, like, I can see, like, Sword in the Stone or Pete's Dragon, I can see that getting under somebody's radar. But this one, especially for somebody who is very much a Disney fan.
I am a big Disney
fan. Yeah, huge Disney fan. So it's, that's just weird. Very bizarre to me.
I don't know. The only thing I can think of is that, like, we didn't really have pets growing up.
Uh-huh.
I remember my dad having a cat when we were younger. And then I had a stepmom for a while. Her name was not Jerry.
Bummer.
And she had a cat, but her cat was horrible. Just horrible. Like, she had, like, a scar on her face from, like, getting in a fight. And I remember, like, one... I remember one time the cat was in the front yard, and there was a woman who lived on the corner that had a Doberman, and she was walking her Doberman by the house, and she was like, the Doberman was about as nasty as she was, and they were just both nasty, and she was walking her Doberman, and she said, "You better get your cat out of the front yard, or my dog's gonna kill it." Wow. And then she took a look at the cat. The cat's name was Leela. She took a look at Leela, and she goes, "Oh, never mind, that's Rambo cat." Apparently, this cat had such a reputation that it had scared the Doberman on the block.
So apparently, your neighbor was Miss Gulch from The Wizard of Oz.
Yes.
And your mom owned a cat that would have been the villain in a Disney movie about cats.
Yeah, stepmom, yeah.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah, sorry, stepmom.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know, maybe that's why I didn't see it as a kid, I don't know.
Because you had an innate fear of murder cats.
Murder cats, or it just didn't interest me at the time, I don't know.
Well, I mean, it's so many films.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and I feel like I know, because I'm a little bit younger than y'all. And I know a lot of these movies, they, like, re-released them, like, right as I was, like...
Yeah, like,
I was,
they released them for the vault and everything. Yeah.
And so, like, my mom was... And then I had, like, a younger sister, so my mom was, like... I mean, I don't think she was just out every week, but, like, Disney movies were coming out, she was buying them. And so it was kind of... Like, a lot of them, I just kind of got, like, in a... Like, a swarm of just, like...
Yeah.
Oh, Disney, we got Aristocats, or, like, The Black Cauldron, or, you know, whatever. Aladdin, all that stuff. Beauty and the Beast, just left and right were just coming. Christmas, you have like a new bundle of, you know, Disney movies to watch. So
I remember seeing a lot of Disney movies with my grandmother, my dad's mom. Mm-hmm. And every time a new Disney movie would come out, even into like my late teenage years, we would always go with her, me and my sister. And so a lot of the like movies that would get released on VHS and stuff, she would buy for us. And I don't know, she never had pets either.
Okay.
So maybe they're just weren't pet people, I guess. I don't know.
Or maybe they're like... They spelled aristocrat wrong. I'm not buying this.
Like, I'm not going to let Disney teach my children how to spell
improper
wrong.
Improper spelling.
I was reading that, too. This was the last Disney movie that Walt Disney signed off on.
Oh, okay.
Like,
really?
As far as... Yeah, like the last original story that he approved in 1966, right before he passed. Although he had started work on plotting out The Rescuers, which was 1976 or 77.
Okay.
So this movie has that distinction, I guess, of being signed off on by a man who gave us so many wonderful movies, but also was kind of a terrible person.
Yeah. It's like hard. I guess not hard, because, you know, it's a lot of terrible people that make art.
Yeah.
But it's... For him to have, like, the caricatures of, like, you know, like...
Siamese cats, Jesus Christ.
I'm shocked that he never had, like, is it... Like, he has never has any, like, blatant anti-Semitism.
Yeah, like, there's not a film
where he's, like, a greedy person that's kind of Jewish.
Yeah, there's not, like, a Watto from a Phantom Menace character in Disney movies.
Okay.
It seems to be all, like, lower-class racist characters.
Yeah.
I guess he probably feared the Jews more so than was like, because I mean that's where it seems like his anti-Semitism. I don't know. I don't. I'm not as well.
No, yeah. No. 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 I know you're not defending him. I know that's not the case.
No. No. Yeah. I love Jewish people.
Hey, guys, let me play devil's advocate. What if Disney was right?
Where it is sects of people who are afraid of Jews. Jewish people. I don't feel because like that whole like conspiracy that Jewish people run the world.
Yeah.
It seems like he might have fell into that line of thought,
bought into the Zionist conspiracy or whatever.
Yeah. But then he got super rich, and
then he gave us the Jungle Book.
The Jungle Book.
Yeah.
He made Thriller. It's that defense.
Walt Disney has a whole bunch of Thrillers.
He does have a lot of Thrillers. Only really had the one.
He had a couple. I mean, Thriller is the, you know, epitome.
He had like two albums worth of Thrillers. Yeah. Walt Disney gave us like 15 Thrillers in a row.
Yeah.
With movies.
Yeah.
Like, it'd be like the Beatles, but if they hated Jewish people. The Beatles had like a lot of hits, right? Got album after album, but I'm pretty sure the Beatles.
This is the white album, but if we hate Asians,
yeah.
Yeah.
This is Rubber Soul Man, but we hate Mexicans.
Jesus. Oh, man.
So all that stirring conversation, racing everything out of the way. What did you think of the movie, Nicole?
I loved it. It's adorable, number one. I mean, as soon as the credits started, I started smiling because there's little kitties.
Just do it.
How does it not get cuter than that?
Little kittens who are artists.
Yeah.
Which is simultaneously the greatest and worst thing someone can make.
Yes, I was quite nervous when the cat started painting and got paint all over the piano. That is not a good idea.
Yeah. That's just disrespectful.
Like, how do you clean paint out of a piano?
I don't think you do.
I'm just like, you know.
Like, I mean, if it's on the keys, like, I guess you could do it. But if it gets in between.
Yeah, you just.
I don't know. Yeah.
Does that affect? I've never really got into the piano.
I'm sure if it gets between keys and shit, we'll mess it up.
It's got to stick.
It could potentially stick, too. Yeah.
But, I mean, they had their own piano, so I guess
their own gigantic grand piano.
They had their own room where they could be artists.
Not like a $30 Walmart Casio keyboard to play on or something.
Definitely some inconsistency with the sizes of the instruments, because you had a cat playing a stand-up bass that was cat-sized, and then another cat walking on a full-size grand piano.
Or a cat playing a trumpet.
Yeah. So I'm not really sure if they have the lips for that.
I don't think so.
They absolutely do not. As someone who used to play trumpet, I don't have the lips for it. And I'm human sized the way you're supposed to be when you play those things.
Harp is believable.
Yeah.
Because of the dexterity. Cats. Yeah, but. Trumpet not as believable. I think probably any stringed instrument is more believable
than a brass or a woodwind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I liked it. It had all kinds of crazy characters. The drunk goose might have been.
Yeah. Oh, Uncle Waldo. Waldo, classic.
Uncle Waldo of the two lesbian geese.
Yeah. What was it? Abigail and
Amelia.
Abigail and Amelia, the two lesbian geese.
I mean, I don't know if they're lesbians.
They were sisters.
Are they sisters?
They are. Because that was their uncle.
Yeah, but was he their uncle?
I mean, no, the uncle, he was kind of like, you know, he was real drunk, and he kind of got real close in the face.
Yeah, they were real touchy.
Yeah,
maybe they were like on some Lannister shit or something. I want to, for everyone listening, I want to point out that as soon as Abigail and Amelia, the geese, entered, first thing Nikki said, "Who are these lesbians?"
With their matching bonnets. That's why I thought they were a couple first, because there's one wearing a pink one and one wearing a blue one.
Yeah, like they're kind
of
pair.
And then they were both women, and so clearly they appeared to be a couple.
And then they started playing their Tegan and Sarah songs.
But yes. Guess that's just me projecting my heteronormativity on the
God damn it. Well, it took 80-some episodes, but somebody finally brought up heteronormativity on the show.
In reference to geese.
Yeah, it was bound to happen sooner or later, and I'm glad it was at least in the context of anthropomorphic cartoon animals. So.
Yeah.
I'll take it. I'm not mad about that.
Yeah, but I like the drunk uncle. I like the two dogs. It really wasn't a character I didn't like.
Oh, yeah, the dogs, Napoleon and Lafayette.
Yeah.
Who were both in Robin Hood. Okay. We were talking about the voice actor overlap, and there's a lot of it in this one. Pat Buttram, I think, was Napoleon. I don't remember the actor Lafayette, but they were the Sheriff of Nottingham and one of the Vulture Guards in Robin Hood, and they were Western actors from the time. And then, of course, we had Roquefort, who was Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah.
That was my favorite.
Among other things.
Yeah.
Sterling Holloway was the actor.
Yeah, I recognized that right away.
And then Paul Winchell, who was Tigger from Winnie the Pooh.
Yes.
But this time around, a racist-ass fucking Siamese cat.
I don't know why the Siamese cats are always racist.
Yeah, not as racist as Lady and the Tramp, but still pretty racist.
Yeah, that song in Lady and the Tramp is horrendous.
Oh, it's bad. Like, it's fresh, too, because I literally just watched this past weekend for the last episode. So, very fresh. Like, this, we just got him saying, what did he say? Rhett's rock and roll? He says Rhett's.
He says bro, like blow, but bro, you're whore!
There's
just like, then they play the stereotypical, he has his own little break.
He says something about chopsticks, too.
Yeah, he's playing the piano with chopsticks.
It's like, oh, Jesus
And then
Christ.
He says, fortune cookie, always wrong.
Yes.
Oh, that was a good one.
Come on. Yeah.
ridiculous.
Oh. And but see, I like how they showcased that one, but then the other ones were like not. Well, you had a Russian one.
A slightly more subdued racism.
Subdued Russian, and then a subdued Latino.
Yeah,
he had a because the band. They only the Asian one got the more of the.
Absolutely. The Siamese cat was definitely the worst offender of the bunch.
Yeah,
I mean, are really your white cats being clearly the white rich character?
Yeah,
already, you know, pretty blatant.
Yeah. Well, and let's get into that. Like we mentioned the class thing. Like this movie, it's a gentrification kind of thing throughout. Because the movie ends with Madame starting the foundation, and it's all the cats living in her house now.
Mm-hmm.
But then you see Thomas O'Malley posing for a picture, wearing a tie, like having his hair like done, yeah, and just looking like a total fucking sellout.
Yeah.
And I was like, he's being like culturally emasculated.
Yeah.
Like, and that's exactly what happens at the end of Lady and the Tramp too. And Thomas O'Malley has a lot in common with Tramp from Lady and the Tramp, because they talk about like the life without leashes and how like humans are just humans and that their pets are just pets to them and everything. And then they fucking buy into it and change. Yeah.
Hey, man.
And it's a fucking downer.
Hey, when you get Eva Gabor, man, you got...
Yeah.
Hey, man. If some rich white lady right now was like, hey, Kamari, you want to change your life? I'm like, I'm game.
Ladies and gentlemen.
I mean, pardon the pun, but he found some good pussy.
Hey-o! Alright, let the record show Kamari Stevens, comedians like fucking sell
out. Hey, I'm trying to get paid.
Man, yeah. I hope Chuck D fucking hears this.
Hey, Chuck.
I got Chuck D on speed dial. I'm gonna tell him, man. I'm gonna tell him about you fucking selling out.
Hey, man, listen. Alright. He brought the kids was on the kid, like, this is what's gonna happen. You bring Thomas O'Malley, but the kids got influence, so the kids won't be sellouts. The kids will be more diverse.
Well, and speaking of diversity, you've got three different kittens in that are three.
Yeah, let's talk about
three
this.
Three different.
Yeah.
Colors, mm-hmm. Yeah. Not that word sounds horrible, but they're
three different types of cats.
Three different types of cats, but
with Marie being the only one takes
after
the mom.
They are all pretty similar.
Yeah, yeah.
As far as that goes, you can tell that they're a family, and they don't seem like stereotypes of whatever they are.
Yeah,
so they're just like
what's the aristocratic?
The aristocracy, aristocratic, whatever.
Yeah, something, I don't know.
Rich people bullshit.
But they just kind of act like normal kids.
Yeah.
That Marie was killing me.
Yeah, oh, Marie.
She's the worst.
Yeah. Thirsty-ass Marie.
Falling in the river, falling off the back of the truck, not wanting to walk. She's the worst.
Falling in love with her dude, her mom's fucking clearly macking on.
Yeah.
Like, step off, man. This ain't The Graduate, Marie. Get the shit out of here.
Yeah.
Snow.
You let Mrs. Robinson get it.
Good song.
You fucking jerk.
Well, it's just that, like, alright, so, I mean, I feel like Thomas O'Malley, listen to the name. He has some pedigree. He's one of those guys that's just like, you know, I'm gonna do my own thing.
Yeah.
But he's like, yeah, you know, I like this. You know what I'm saying? You know, he can still go out and run the streets, man.
Can he?
He can run the streets a little bit, man.
Just saying, they came back after they disappeared. They had to meow outside the front door. Earlier, there was a fucking cat door that they came in and out of as they pleased. No cat door when they came back.
Well, that was... No, the
was
cat door... The cat door was just locked.
I thought the cat door was inside.
There was a cat door that led outside.
The one that they would go in it, and then he...
Yeah, because the butler pokes his head out at one point, like, to make sure the coast is clear through the cat door when he's kidnapping
him. I mean, there's definitely some inconsistencies, as we talked about during the movie. Why is the butler driving a motorcycle with a sidecar when he clearly has no friends?
Yeah, yeah. Just Madame. And apparently, she's not a good enough friend that she doesn't leave everything to him before the cats.
Even, yeah, she's not even concerned when he's gone at the end.
Yeah, she's just like...
She doesn't know that he was responsible for...
Here's the follow-up. George does the will and just says, scratch one butler.
Yeah!
Did she find out... Like, did she get a report that his body was found in transit? Like, what happened?
Yeah. Dead in the trunk with a bucket.
She was like, no. She cares nothing about the answers. Where were my kittens? Why were they gone so long? Now where's my butler? My kittens are back, but no butler. None of this is like, oh, you know.
Yeah. On top of this, why didn't that fucking horse and mouse tell Madame what was up? Because
I don't think she can understand them.
See, I was going to say that, but we find out that's bullshit in that final scene in the stable. Because at one point, Roquefort yells quiet while he's trying to pick the lock, and the butler fucking hears him and shuts up, and everyone stops what they're doing. Long enough for him to pick the lock, I was like, all right, man, you can understand.
No, I think that's just another inconsistency, because earlier in the film when...
When the dogs are talking?
Well, and also when the butler comes in to feed the cats, they're all talking and chatting with each other and painting and playing
piano. How does he not hear them playing piano? How does he not walk in and is like, these cats were like playing piano on like a person level. Your new plan should be monetize not fucking leave them in the countryside, you horse's ass.
Sell the painting
that
they have.
Then when he walks in with the food, they switch from chatting to meowing. Which makes me believe that then is...
Maybe it's like a Toy Story thing.
Yeah.
Because like where the toys, like they go back into toy mode, but then when Sid's about to light a rocket on him, Woody's all, play nice.
Well, to dispute, I think what happens is that all the cats who are like jumping Edgar, they stop, and he's like in their clutches. So he's just like, just by proxy, he has to kind of like.
I don't buy that, man.
Obviously they shouldn't have stopped anyway.
Yeah, why would he be quiet for a mouse that's picking his lock?
And if the cats stop, that's your chance to buck him off like a fucking rodeo, man.
I think it's unfair that cats and the animals get to hear what humans say, but humans don't know what the fuck the cats say.
I agree 100%.
Because Edgar would have got away with it if it wasn't for those pesky animals.
And all of the animals can understand each other.
Yeah.
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 They all speak English.
Yeah. Just speak English.
In with different accents. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, like the fucking Duchess and Madame are the only ones with French accents in this movie.
And I feel like Madame doesn't even really have like a... It's like the truck driver has the most French accent. Sacrebleu!
I am very pro Disney including scenes in their movies where Frenchmen just yell things in French. because the truck driver, the milk truck in this, and the Le Poisson scene in Little Mermaid are like my favorite things in Disney movies ever.
Yeah.
Oh man, Edgar,
fucking Edgar!
Edgar,
what a bonehead!
He was so stupid.
You know what you could have done? Fucking poison those cats,
or he could have just waited. Yeah. This
any
is the thing.
Number of things.
Like even though Madame was rewatching this, Madame is batshit crazy.
Yes, Jesus Christ!
But it makes sense because she was an actress.
She's a very well-dressed, crazy
Okay, woman. like a Gloria Swanson kind of thing?
I mean, it's just like, you know, like people who are like, you know, performers and stuff, we all have our eccentricities. And she obviously was very, she got well off, she was doing well. She lost her fucking mind. She just lost it.
Yeah.
And then, and so, like, she has these kittens, she doesn't have any children, and...
She's got a dude who's okay with it, though.
We don't know she didn't have any children. We know she didn't have any living relatives.
Okay, yeah, that is true. That's
we don't know. We don't know shit about her.
We don't know shit about Madame.
That might even be her real ass fucking name.
And she does look like the evil stepmother from Cinderella.
Bam! Mm-hmm. Assume the new identity, started a new life.
But yeah, even though Madame was shitty for putting her kittens above a person,
yeah,
still, man, like. Nothing in Edgar's mind is like, well, fucking cats can't spend money. Like, they just can't. Like, they can't.
If I can take care of them, I can use
I am fucking
them.
Rich.
Oh, no. Toulouse and Brilliance totally wanted to buy a fucking 60-inch HD television. Yeah. Fucking, here, come here, Brilliance. Yeah, you can paint, right?
Yeah.
Or, no, Toulouse was the one that painted.
Yeah,
just put your little paw print. Put your little John Hancock kitty.
I did like that Toulouse was the painter.
Yeah.
That's
such a painter-ass name. And Berlioz is such a musician name, too. Mm-hmm. I like, just to show how white they were, when they meet up with Scat Cat and they're playing, Berlioz's response is, "This isn't Beethoven, but man, does it bounce."
It bounced.
Which is what a fucking cop who's trying to blend in with the uses.
Oh, yeah. Oh, like, it's just like a straight up poser.
Like, I just think it was Steve Buscemi's character from 30 Rock when he goes undercover. And, like, he walks in with, like, the shirt that says bad. And he just rolled up, holds a skateboard. "What's up, fellow kids?" It's like, oh, you fucking narc.
Oh, man. It is, you know, to go back, because. To the whole Thomas O'Malley, because I think that's the reason why I like the movie.
Yeah,
my favorite character is Thomas O'Malley. I'm a big fan, but it's like that whole like laissez-faire, I'm gonna do what the fuck I want to do part. You know, just like I'm gonna live off the land and take what I want, and well, I guess not want, but take what's out there for me.
Uh-huh.
It's a big place out there. Like he does become. You hope that. The sequel, like, he had a moment where he's like, oh, shit, I don't know what I've gotten into.
Yeah.
At the end.
Definitely.
So maybe if there was, like, Aristocats sequel, Thomas O'Malley has left the building. I'm assuming.
He's like, nah.
He's like, yeah, I didn't sign up for this.
I mean, right away, he doesn't seem like the settled down type.
Nah.
I mean, he's macking on her, but not in the kind of way that, like, oh, I want to marry this girl.
But see, the thing is that, granted, she's a cat, so I don't know how it translates, but she would be like, she'd be like Beyonce level.
Yeah.
Or like a Scarlett Johansson, like that. She would be, so I feel like you got the player, but then you always had that one that's just like, oh man, I gotta give up my player ways.
You gotta give up your player ways, yeah. That makes sense. For her. And she's got money.
Cause it's like, yeah, cause she's, the money is like super the sugar. Well,
but he doesn't seem to be into that kind of thing.
Ah, yeah. And neither was Tramp. And
that's
he,
true.
But then he fucking... Nobody and the lady and the Tramp, they have kids together.
Yeah.
It's like, man, you fucking sold out.
Hey, man, the moral of the story is, if you get out in the world too long, man, and you meet a nice lady, you probably going to sell out.
Sometimes you just want to
sell it out, man. You can't live the Tramp life forever.
Yeah.
You get old, man. You don't want to be the... As Chris Rock once said, you don't want to be the old player in the club. You don't want to be the old cat in the alley.
That's fair, man.
You don't want to be the old cat in the alley.
He's got some smooth moves, though.
He
does. Calling her baby.
Oh, constantly.
Yeah, that familiarity right away.
I also love that he corrects himself when he starts to refer to her as a
dame.
I kept hoping, like, I couldn't remember if it was like, oh, man. Does he call somebody broads? And he does it, but he refers to the geese as chicks at one point.
Yeah.
He refers to the geese as chicks. And then compliments them by saying he thought they were swans,
mm-hmm.
which I thought was funny.
Because he was like very sarcastic about it.
Yeah.
And they're, of course, geese, so they're too dumb to pick up on that.
And then they say, they assume that is her husband, and he says, not exactly.
Yeah. Oh, real smooth.
Real smooth.
I'm Thomas O'Malley. I'm into that poly thing. What up, these guys? Yo, I'll date outside my species. You two trying to double down on this cat dick? Thomas O'Malley trying to get it in.
Get it away. At all times.
That is a great name for a character.
Oh, yeah. He's so good.
Abraham Lacey. Giuseppe Casey. Do you think... who he obviously gave himself all those names.
Probably. I think that's a safe bet.
He just, like, picked them up and was like, oh, I like Abraham. Oh, Giuseppe. That's nice.
Yeah.
He's Thomas. Thomas is his name.
Yeah.
Thomas is his name. So he's Irish, I'm assuming.
Yeah. O'Malley? Oh, yeah. Irish as fuck.
And then the mouse spits out a whole bunch of different Irish names at the end when he can't remember O'Malley.
Yeah, O'Brady. O'Brien.
Yeah.
Just all over the place. Get it together, Roquefort. Turn your detective hat, you
come
fucking
on,
bastard. Cool. I think we're going to go ahead and wrap up with our favorite moments then.
Okay.
So Nikki, we'll start with you and work our way around.
Oh, boy. I gotta say, the first battle, if you want to call it that, between the dogs and Edgar.
When he goes out to drop the cat.
With
cats
the windmill, because it's so ridiculous. There's just so many defying physics moments in it, and it's just really ridiculous.
The loop-de-loop under the bridge.
Under the bridge,
driving
in the
water.
Yeah, and then
the watchtower.
Hanging onto the edge of the windmill, going around it, because that's how windmills work.
He moves the one tower.
Yeah,
the
moves one, the whole thing. Yeah, yeah, and then runs breaks into through it. Breaks through it.
It's funny because there's because in Robin Hood that happens too, where they all charge into just like a standing tower, and they end up carrying it along with them for several feet.
Yes,
I was like, no, this is ridiculous.
But I like scenes like that because they're fun and they're funny, and they also appear to be like. Animation-wise, appear to be challenging. Just kind of standing back and looking at it, you think like this has got to be challenging to draw. You know.
Well, I love too because the second scene where he goes back out completely unnecessary to the story.
Really,
and that's like 6 minutes long.
Yeah,
like they could have cut that and it probably would have been fine. But then we get again those great turns from the voice actors doing Napoleon and Lafayette, mm-hmm. and a lot of physical comedy out of it.
And you've got them riding on a sidecar in a stack of hay.
Yes.
Yeah. Like that's not the most uncomfortable thing you can think of, being inside of a stack of hay.
What's that sound? A one-wheeled haystack. Oh man.
So that was probably my favorite moment.
Cool. Mari?
It's the scene, everybody wants to be a cat.
Oh, such a
cool like, scene. And I mean, I've kind of warmed up to cats a little bit, but
yeah.
I was very anti-cat as a kid. Like, I hated cats as much as Walt Disney hated Jewish people. When I was a kid.
Jesus Christ.
Like, I hated them. But these kittens... Thomas O'Malley, I was game and they were funky and jazzy, and I legitimately rewatching the movie, I could watch the movie just for that scene alone, because I love the music. I love like the breakdowns that they have. You got like the different, I mean, you got the unfortunately racist Chinese section.
Yeah.
You got the part where she's playing the harp, and it's just a cool ass. I mean, we didn't mention what's the guy's name, the dude with the hat. The trumpet player.
Scat Cat.
That was his name.
The character's name. Because voiced by Scatman Crothers.
Yeah, he was the black one. You know what I'm saying? He was cool as shit, and it's just like a dope. I enjoyed that. So every time it was worth making my stepfather upset.
I like all the color changing too. It reminded me of the scene in Winnie the Pooh, the Heffalumps and Woozles scene.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Not quite as drug induced, but all the color changing.
They might have smoked the J before.
Yes.
Yeah.
Smoked the J.
No shrooms, but they smoked the J.
Yeah, it's jazz.
I like how they had that. They had the one.
A jazz cigarette.
The one guy who was just like super, like, just hippie, had the like tinted glasses. And
the dude that was the male necklace. Version of Janice from Electric Mayhem.
He's like, man. I don't even think he played an instrument. He was just there to dig the music.
He was British too, because he has like one line and you hear him and it's very quick. And it's like, it's very much like a John Lennon-ish kind of voice he's throwing on for it.
Yeah, no, yeah. And that's when I saw it, I was like, oh, okay.
And even the glasses too.
Yeah.
He was playing something.
Yeah. I don't know, maybe, but...
I think he had, like, a little guitar. Like, a little cat-sized guitar he was playing on.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's a lot of diversity in that cat band.
Yeah, yeah.
The
caricatures might be racist.
The caricatures are racist.
They are.
They are racist.
I mean, especially the Siamese.
No, definitely him.
No,
yeah.
But it is a diverse group, and they all love each other.
That's very true. And it is a very good scene. It is a very good number.
It's a great scene.
So I guess racism is okay if it's catchy. Is that what we're saying here?
I like my racism with a catchy beat.
I like my racism to maintain its pop sensibilities.
I like my racism diverse.
I mean, I think it's more of like ignorance. It's like an ignorant thing. It's like, oh, we want to show diverse, but we only know people in these one dimensions. But we want them to be together for some reason.
Yeah.
And to be fair, this was 1970, right?
Yeah,
1970.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
So, guys, is it safe to say when this episode drops, do you think we will end racism? That's how this works, right?
No,
we won't.
Probably not.
You're right. I have no... This podcast will never cause any positive change. If anything, it'll probably make it worse.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry for that.
Hey, we apologize.
I think for me, my favorite moment in this movie, I love the stuff with Lafayette and Napoleon. That's a great scene. And of course, Everyone Wants to Be a Cat's one of my favorite songs in a Disney movie ever. For me, it's probably Thomas O'Malley's introduction.
That is really good.
Because he's so fucking smooth.
Yeah.
And he's so cool. And he's singing that dope-ass song that's literally just all about his name.
Yeah.
You hear him before you see him, don't
yeah.
you?
Yeah, yeah.
That's, I love that. Yeah.
You, just, you hear that voice, you're like, oh, man, that, I would feel, I don't know who that is, but I would feel safe in their arms.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's just got that, such a soothing, reassuring voice.
Like a tenor? Is it a tenor?
Yeah.
It's a tenor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Definitely
he's got
a tenor.
That same kind of Jungle Book bounce to him, too.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and that's the thing. Like, the character, like, because between this, Little John and Robin Hood and Baloo from Jungle Book, like, they're all pretty much the same character. Like, they're that very kind of free will and everything.
Nobody
yeah.
can, you know, hold me down. I'm gonna do what I want.
Right.
Yeah.
Until I conform at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah. Until he fucking sells out so hard.
Until I get some trim. Can I get some trim? That's a slang term for a vagina.
Yeah.
Well, and it's not as bad as Lady and the Tramp, because Lady and the Tramp, you see them at the end with children on Christmas. This was just a family portrait.
Yeah.
Yeah. This
and he wasn't happy. Again, yeah, he was not happy.
She mentioned kids, and he was like, "What?
What?
Yeah. This
don't we already got three?
So I guess the plus is this has not to reference The Graduate twice in this podcast. But this has that Graduate end thing where it's like everything's cool,
yeah.
and then they're on the bus, and then they look at each other like they've just done the dumbest thing in their lives. So,
but all right, just a little bit about O'Malley, because you got that whole thing where it's just like he's also a selfish character initially. So it's him
initially,
being selfish
initially. But it changes in the space of, like,
no,
two
it's
minutes.
Very quick. It's very quick.
Like, he's initially just like, oh, she's got kids.
Yeah.
Fuck off. And then they're just like, O'Malley, what are you doing? You're not a cat. You're a rat. And then he turns around and does the right thing.
Yeah.
Even
yeah.
if all along the way to do that right thing, he's like, hey, can I get your number?
Can I get some of that?
But he's good with the kids.
He is.
He saves Marie's sorry ass
so many times. I completely forgot. Maybe my other favorite moment. When Thomas and Marie are on the roof, or Thomas and Duchess are on the roof, right after the jazz number, and Pearly Ellis just looks out and is like, what does he say? He's like, I guess we won't have a father.
We almost had a father.
And it's so sad. Yeah. Yeah. I was like, oh God, I hated my dad. I totally understand where you're coming from.
We almost had one.
It's like, we almost had a father. We would take literally anyone, even this drifter.
We almost went out back and had a catch.
Yeah.
Jesus.
It's little lines like that that I love. My favorite line in Pinocchio is Jimmy Cricket, like, after they do the whole Actor's Life for Me song, and he goes off to be an actor, and Jiminy Cricket, like, looks longingly after him and says, what does an actor need with a conscience anyway?
Oh, man.
Jiminy Cricket, old JC, calling him like he sees him.
Dropping
like
that knowledge.
Yeah, that knowledge. Such a great throwaway line in that film.
That's awesome. Cool. I think we're going to wrap up there.
Okay.
So thank you, Kamari, for guest hosting.
Thanks for having
Kamari.
Me. Yeah.
Nikki, thank you for joining us to be on the podcast.
So much fun.
Yeah, great times all around.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you all for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
Yeah.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to How Have You Not Seen This. If you enjoyed the podcast, like the page on Facebook. Subscribe to us on iTunes. You can also leave us a rating or a review. If you're interested in donating to the podcast, you can do so through the PayPal link at the Podomatic website, howhaveyounotseenthis.podomatic.com. You can also send any questions, comments for the show to howhaveyounotseenthispodcast@gmail.com. Thank you for listening, and we'll catch you next time.